politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when he got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on. Well, we might as well give up and run. If we let them take our God and guns. Yeah, out here in my neck of the woods, where God's great and guns are good, you really can't know that much about them if you think we're better off without them. Oh, there was a time we ain't forgot, you could rest all night. The door's unlocked, but there ain't nobody safe no more. So you say your prayers and you thank the Lord for that peacemaker in the treasure drawer.
Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism.
Patriots, men and women, people of God, people of all faiths, people that are true Americans, thank you for showing up. We've got a great show today. My name is Bing, and I want to just say that I'm going to read something that somebody posted over at Traditional American Movement. Anyways, I want to thank you so much for being here today. We got a great guest, and we'll get to him in just a few seconds. Isaiah's mission in the Bible was he undertook something that he knew that might have been a little bit beyond him, but he took it on. And somebody posted this, and I just wanted to read something that kind of stuck out to me. This was Chuck, actually, over at traditionalamericanmovement.com. He said, there are many different patriot groups, diverse people, and fierce individualists involved in this movement. Each of these desperate entities has much to offer the movement as a whole. It isn't possible, though, to find that group or those people which fit with your strengths and abilities, as their numbers are many, and the time for exhaustive internet searches is scarce. We here at TradAm have built a site for you as if it were your own, to bring your own ideas, your own actions, your own talents to a single clearinghouse known as the Common Ground Project that we established over here. Think of it as a village pub, meeting halls where the founding patriots met in the late 1700s, where all news and ideas passed by the word of mouth carried on horseback. All of us, in groups or as individuals, have something to add to the group discussions, but we don't have a common meeting place. We have created that place, but we're all scarce. We're all out there. We're all in different numbers. We're trying to find where is this area that we can meet to discuss things without having to worry about liberal trolls attacking us, without having to worry about spammers and so on. And we don't claim ownership of any name or our name. We invite all to use it. We don't ask for money or loyalty to the site. We offer our site as a neutral tool for every American who wants a return to the principles which made America great. Small government, ruled by the citizens, fiscal responsibility, Judeo-Christian reference to God and respect for each other, adherence to the Constitution, and love of traditional American values and traditions. Come and add your part. Wear your group identity proudly. We're not going to take that away from you. You will find no turf wars here, because we reject tyranny at any level, and we will not be ruled. And at that point, I'm going to go ahead and get Michael in here. I know he's under the weather. He had the flu last week, but Michael.
Hey, Brother Bing, thank you so much. And thanks for, you know, first of all, thanks for getting Wild Bill booked. I've been looking over, reading over his website. I think one of the things I like the most about his website at wildbillforamerica.com is his, the Wild Bill's Truth Scoreboard. He's got Democrats decorrupted 14. That's pretty damn good. I didn't think we could get one of those sorry SOBs decorrupted. but this I'm really looking forward to him. I've been under the weather. I was in bed. I sent my family over to my mom's on Thanksgiving. I was supposed to go feed my grandmother at the nursing home, so my mom can cook. My wife did that instead, and then my wife and kids went to my mom's, and I stayed at home in bed. So I've had the flu since we pretty much got finished with the show last Sunday. But I am feeling a little bit better today. But I am going to basically leave it in your hands, along with Wild Bill and Billy and Chuck. And the phones are already stacking up. The chat board looks great today. I see Barbara's in the house, and Big Dog, and Brenda, and Dr. Jones is in the house, and Fred's out there. And I did want to mention one thing I took note of during the week, and that was this incident up in at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I just wanted to say something briefly about it as a veteran. And I did post something about it on Facebook. And I'm sure this might be controversial, because the knee-jerk reaction is to tell this girl that, all right, good for you. You got fired. I hope you get cancer and die of AIDS and all that good stuff for flipping the bird and being disrespectful at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers. I just want to remind everybody that what we fight for is the freedom for people to make asses out of themselves. And frankly, myself, I think that those folks firing her was just taken a little bit too far. I don't think we should be in fear of our jobs for doing stupid stuff like that and posting it on Facebook. I think the shame that she now has to live with and the ridicule that she now has to live with is simply enough. And as a veteran, I'm a little offended by the fact that she has to live in fear of her job for just simply exercising her freedoms. So that's really the only thing I wanted to say. Other than that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Uncle Bing.
All right, brother. Well, I hope your voice gets better, because mine isn't. But anyway,
you can tell I'm starting to lose it already.
Yeah, I can tell that. I wanted to get to our next guest here real quick, because I know he's probably got limited time. It's a Sunday and so on. I don't want to tie him up, but he has been so supportive of the Tea Party movement. And he's a hero in a patriot to me, because he speaks and he talks on a logical level without being – he's emotional, but he doesn't use emotion without logic. He uses logic with emotion. There's a big difference. When I hear a liberal talk, it's all emotion. It's an emotionally-based argument that has no logic. They have no facts to back up. Our following guest here, our upcoming guest, has logic to back it up, and he talks with emotion. He talks from the heart. He talks with spirit. He talks with dedication, with principle. He talks about things that are dear to us, that are dear to everybody here. And I think that what he has to say and what he is doing and what he has agreed to come on this show. And, I mean, I really didn't have to beg or anything. I just asked him, and he came on. But I want to read something on his main page, with WildBillForAmerica.com. And what he has to say is he has his mission statement, okay? And that one is to support and encourage the Tea Party and other conservative Americans because they are the people who will guard America's freedom and heritage, ensuring that the United States will continue to be the greatest nation in history. Ditto. I agree with that totally. Two, to promote biblical values and remind Americans of the importance of faith in God, His Son, Jesus Christ, and His written word as our ultimate guide to all of life. Three, to speak up boldly on the most important issues of our time with just the right amount of humor and satire to keep it interesting. And he does do that. To keep America as one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. And on that note, I would like to introduce and everybody give a great applause for Mr. Wild Bill of America. Hi, Bill.
Uncle Bing, it's good to finally talk to you. Michael B., I'm glad you're starting to feel better. Hang in there, buddy.
Bill, I've got a question. Other than what you're doing, I know it's inspired where you're inspired from, but what basically started you, what was your impetus to start this, to start speaking out, to start being active in this movement? What started it all? Was there a spark? Was there something that happened?
Oh, I've always been concerned about, you know, the downfall of America. You know, I grew up in the 60s, and I saw the hippies movement, and I saw where it was a poison seed planted in the soul of America. And I served for 20 years as a law enforcement officer. I saw what immorality and bad company can do to people and families. And then in my retired years, I did some soul searching and decided that since my only talent is not being able to keep my mouth shut, I ought to make videos.
Well, sir, you do have a talent, and I got to tell you that as far as within a lot of the Tea Party movement, you're like, you know, revered. You're a hero to a lot of people, and you have a lot of things to say. And yeah, a lot of people don't understand that you actually went to a Bible college.
Yeah, after my law enforcement career, I headed off to Montana Bible College, and then I spent a few years on the mission field.
And you're a security specialist as well. And, you know, you've got a pretty good background in security and law enforcement and so on. And as Michael alluded to that woman at the cemetery, I'm just wanting to get your take on that.
That was a nasty thing she did. This was at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's the one you're talking about, right? I saw a picture of her flipping the bird at our unknown soldier and just being disrespectful of America in general. And she makes a great poster child for the liberal left because they are all about desecrating things that are sacred to the American spirit. Now, I thought it was very nice for you guys to speak up for her, saying that she should not have lost her job and so on. And we do defend the rights of all in this country. But one of the reasons that this country is in such a pickle is because for decades now we've let people like her simply get away with things like that without any consequences at all. Conservative Americans simply shrug their shoulders and say, well, I guess they have the right to do it. So, yeah, they do have the right to do it, but I would like to see us stand up and challenge these people every time they do.
Do you think that there's a time that right now that we need to start throwing these things back into their faces? I mean, vehemently.
Oh, absolutely, because the left thrives on disinformation and lies. You know, their main sponsor is the father of lies, if you know what I mean. And truth is our most powerful weapon against the left. And in order for that truth to be effective, we need to speak out boldly. We have the right to speak out in the public forums. We have the right to speak out in our churches and in the government, and we need to combine both of those. We need to shake off the timidity that conservative Americans seem to have had over the decades, and the more we speak up, the more the left will shrivel and slink away.
Well, that's the way I look at it, too. I mean, to me, she represented nothing other to me than the OWS movement, on a hollowed ground. You know, I mean, I wish there would have been a Marine or two there to deal with her, but, you know, that's besides the point. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that, yes, she does have a right to free speech, but, you know, you don't yell fire in a crowded movie theater, you know. I mean, you just don't do that unless there is one. And you also don't yell movie in a crowded firehouse, because that gets people crazy, too. But I think every time that they come up with these idiotic things and so on, that we need to put it back in their face. And it, you know, it's like I talk about Benghazi and so on. Benghazi should be on front page news everywhere, and it's not. And
absolutely.
I'm wondering about what your take is on that. What do you think happened there? Was there a total breakdown? Just a total breakdown, or was this a total lie?
There was not a breakdown at Benghazi. What it was is, on the anniversary of 9/11, we underwent yet another terrorist attack. The administration knew there was a possibility. They refused security. And when our people were being attacked for 7 hours, they called out for help, for backup. The armed forces were locked and loaded and ready to pounce to rescue our people and to kick some terrorist backsides, and somebody ordered them to stand down. That is the Benghazi story. I don't care about General Petraeus' love life, and I couldn't care less about Susan Rice. The real story is, who caused our people to get slaughtered when our military was there ready to rescue them? Who gave the orders to shut down the rescue operation? It had to be people in the top echelon. The only people that could override those admirals who were ready to launch the rescue would be Panetta, Biden, Hillary, or Obama. It had to come from one of those four.
Yeah, it had to. I mean, I don't see any other way around it. I don't think Rice is smart enough to come up with an intelligent idea on her own. That's just my own opinion. I think she got this as a talking point from somebody else. So, and it was so quick. It was so quick, and it was before the election. And then look what happened afterwards and so on. And you know, this is typical liberal double speak, double talk. This is typical liberal mindset. That if they want to control the narrative, they want to control the lie. And when the lie gets out of hand – yeah, you know, I mean, we've all done this, okay? You know, when we were kids or something, we told one little lie, and then that lie just snowballs, and it snowballs, and then pretty soon you're stuck, you know, and you don't know how to get out of it. And as Nixon, and during Watergate, what I remember, it wasn't so much the crime of Watergate, of the break-in. It was the cover-up. It was the lie. It was all these people involved in this. And what I'm trying to, you know, and I understand, you know, you got the liberal media, you got the liberal press that wants to try to cover this up. What I'm trying to figure out, Bill, is where do we go from where? How do we take a situation like that and make it, turn it around to our benefit?
Well, we need to start asking who shut down the rescue mission. The admiral who was in charge of the carrier task force that was ready to launch a rescue mission was relieved of duty. I want to know who gave the order to relieve that man of duty. That's the real story here. And we need to get Americans talking about that. So, and it's the new media like you and me who have the power to do that. We know we can no longer rely on the mainstream media. And you know Washington, D.C. is not going to do an investigation. I'm absolutely disgusted with the Republican Party, who should be acting as the checks and balances to this lawless administration, but they've shown absolutely no interest whatsoever in investigating or trying to stop Obama and his administration when they do things like this.
No, well, to me, and I've said this before, and I took heat for it, and it's just to me, the GOP, the grand old party, is basically the grand old moderate party anymore, because they just want to sit there and keep reaching across the aisle with the enemy. And I don't agree with that.
I agree.
When the principles do not suit what we stand for as conservatives, then why aren't we sitting there coercing with our enemy, carousing with them and so on? I don't understand that.
Yeah, there's a time when reaching across the aisle becomes collaborating with the enemy. You're right. As far as I'm concerned, the only reaching across the aisle should be to slap some sense into the liberal left, and we need patriots in the Congress like Alan West. People who will stand up and declare war on Congress. But I'm starting to move away. I'm starting to take a new direction in my work here, guys. You know, what's that old definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again while expecting a different result?
Yeah.
Well, I'm beginning to think that, you know, trying to send the right people to Congress hoping they will change things is beginning to look like insanity to me. I am starting, as of 2013, a massive movement for us to make an end run around the corrupt Washington, D.C. politicians and start packing state legislatures with patriotic Americans who can draw a line in the sand, because it is the individual states that have the authority by the Constitution to stand up to the federal government. That is how we...
I was going to say, Bill, you know, Texas, I just wanted to interject real quick. We did that this last primary, our primary here in Texas. We upended our House of Representatives down in Austin. I think the proof of whether or not we succeeded this time, or if we're going to need one more cycle to get the job done, is whether or not we replace Joe Strauss with Brian Hughes. If we get Brian Hughes in as our Speaker of the House, we've won and we've taken control of our state house here in Texas.
That would be excellent. That would be encouraging for all the other states to follow suit. So it's going to have to be a major push, and I am going to be pushing for churches and communities to identify good people in their midst, people who may have never even thought about running for office, but who are men and women of excellence who can be recruited to stand up for their state. That's the only way we're going to get that Godzilla monster of Washington, D.C. on a leash.
Yeah, it's a freak on a leash right now, and we need to take control of that for sure. I've got a few questions real quick, Bill. I know, you know, you're limited on time and so on, but and I want to say also, again, thank you so much for just emailing me back and say I'll be on your show. You know, I thought that was just great. It just tickled me.
My honor.
Mean, it's my honor, sir, my honor. I got a couple questions.
Okay.
I know this is probably a stupid one, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but everybody's saying, what does he actually have in that cup that he drinks out of? Sounds like it was probably coffee, but, you know.
It's usually coffee. There's been times when it's been hot cocoa, and actually there's times when I forget to bring anything. I just grab a cup out of my pack and hold it like it has something in it.
Hey, man, you got to ad lib in this industry, you know. I mean, it's, you know, you're on video, of course, but
yeah,
on radio.
Yeah, the coffee cup's part of the character.
It is, and it definitely is very cool. I mean, also, you know, relating to that is, I'd like to know what kind of equipment. I mean, how do you set this show up? Is somebody shooting it, or are you just in front of a webcam? I mean,
I started out.
What kind of equipment do you use?
Well, when I first got started, I just paid $80 for a refurbished little camera off eBay and set up a tripod, and I printed up the scripts and had a friend hold them behind the camera to cue me, and I just started talking into the camera, but then had a really nice donor that liked what I was doing, and he donated a high definition camera and wireless microphone and an iPad that serves as kind of a teleprompter. So now I can do them all by myself. Just find a nice outdoor setting and write up some talking points, and I usually make 4 or 5 videos a week, but I only upload 1 or 2.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, I just love to know how people are doing the things that they're doing, and I appreciate that. I'd like, you know, I'm trying to do some stuff on my own here, and I know Michael and me are doing this radio show and so on, and trying to perfect it and trying to get it done. And we're always interested in, you know, how other people are actually accomplishing things. We also have a couple other areas that we're involved in and so on. But I want to get to another question. In your opinion, how big a part did fraud play in the last election, the presidential election?
How much did fog play?
Fraud.
Oh, I think it's massive. I just did a video about how voter fraud is an attack on every American. In fact, the video is titled American Revolution Number 2. People ask me once in a while if I think we will ever end up fighting in the streets for freedom like our founding fathers did. And I always said, you know, I couldn't see it in America because we have access to the ballot box and partake in our government. But, man, I tell you, Bing, those freedoms are no longer secure in this nation. The massive voter fraud was an absolute shock in the 2012 election, and even more shocking was the silence of those who should be crying foul. I have not heard a single thing from the Republicans in Congress about this, and they should be launching the most massive criminal investigation in America. There should be thousands of people in handcuffs. There's pretty solid evidence that thousands of illegal aliens voted in our election. Man, talk about spitting in the face of American sovereignty. And if Americans lose the right to partake in free and fair elections, then we have just taken a major step towards armed revolution number two in America.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I mean, when you take our right to vote, which in my opinion is probably the most sacred right that we have as Americans, because when we lose that right, or the ability to trust that right. I don't know what that word might be, but when we cannot trust the fact that our vote counts or that our voting process is intact, then we really have nothing, do we?
Well, It's already hurt us, Bing, because the reason Obama was elected in 2008 is because conservative Americans were discouraged already. They thought that their vote no longer counted, and less than half of the conservative voters in America bothered to go to the ballot booth to vote. That's how we got Obama in the first place, and with this massive voter fraud, I'm concerned that even more people are going to be discouraged and just give up. And if we stop going to the voter booth, then the enemies of freedom will win and America will fail. So my duty in life, my mission in life, is to encourage and strengthen conservative Americans, Tea Parties, Christian families to stand up and fight for what's right, now more than ever.
Bill, let me ask you a question. This is Michael. Because of course, we're already starting to see the UN gun treaties being bannered about again, and I'm sure that in this next 4 years, we're going to see a major push to curtail our Second Amendment rights. Now, here's the question that plays over in my mind. With all of the rights that we're slowly seeing eroded away, ultimately for the left to take to truly become a dictatorship, they're going to have to take our arms. And I've wondered that same question. What's it going to take to get people in the streets actually fighting? I mean, an actual civil war, if you will. I think the only way you're going to see something of that scale happen is if this administration or an administration similar to it should actually try to say, okay, you have now got to turn your weapons in. I think that would be the point at which you would actually see armed resistance.
Yeah, and I think the liberal left know that. You got to remember, guys, that the liberal left in America may be evil, but they're not stupid, and they know that gun rights is something of the third rail of American politics. The National Rifle Association has kicked their backsides many times. So rather than seeing a heavy-handed approach to confiscating firearms, I expect the liberal left to follow their usual tactic, and that will be to tax them out of existence. I can see them slapping a humanitarian tax on ammunition of a dollar a bullet in order to pay for the gun violence medical bills, things like that. I can see the Nancy Pelosi anti-explosives bill. We're making it a felony for people to possess powder, primer, anything that could be used to reload ammo. That's the kind of tactic they will take, and they'll do it for the children, to stop the violence against children. That's the kind of stuff you can expect from the liberal left. There isn't a single one of them that has the huevos to come and kick in a door and say, give us your guns. I really don't think we'll see that.
Well, they're already trying to do it with laws against lead. You know, lead poisoning.
I didn't know that.
Is,
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, they've been trying to do that for a while, but it keeps getting pushed off to the side because I think it's just too nutty of an idea for even for them. But yeah, they'll try anything. I don't put anything past them. I'd like to maybe go on to some calls here if we can, Bill.
Okay.
I got Harry Glossinger. He's author of the Resident Beanbag Bible, and he's kind of a regular here, and I'd like to get him on. Harry, hello. Meet Bill.
Oh, there you are.
Hello, Harry. You're on. Harry, wake up.
He may have stepped away.
He might have. Okay, let's go to Billy. Billy Cotter. She's another talk show hoster. Hello, Billy.
Hi. How's everything?
Fine. How are you?
Pretty good. So far, the show's been great. Hi, Wild Bill.
Hello there, Billy. Good to hear from you. What's up?
Well, you know, I just wanted to say something about, as far as, like, illegal immigration, you brought that up and the number that voted this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, you know, the whole issue of being, quote-unquote, undocumented or illegal as irrelevant nowadays, even though we used to be a nation of laws, so to speak. And in, like, the Clinton years, they wouldn't even have thought of voting. But for some reason under Obama, they've gotten this little push toward, hey, it's okay. And I'm just trying to figure out where our nation of laws has gone and what we can do to get it back.
Well, I'll tell you, where our congressmen should be doing their duty according to law, they've decided to do their duty according to media popularity. And frankly, I do not believe the Congress will do their duty until they fear us more than they fear the mainstream media.
That's a good popular, a good answer of like the popularity vote and stuff like that too. But that's, I live in Sioux City, Iowa. So right across the border in Nebraska is South Sioux City. And they are like 99% Hispanic there. And they are undocumented. It's a sanctuary city. And they come over all the time. And it's something that I have Hispanic friends who actually, they loathe the fact that that sanctuary cities even exist. I'm just wondering I would love to get rid of sanctuary cities altogether and go back to the fact that, yeah, the church is the sanctuary. You know what I mean?
Well, I think I know how you could do that. I think you should round up some of your friends and find an attorney and then file suit against the city fathers for malfeasance of duty and for conspiracy to violate the immigration laws of the United States. Those are crimes. And if we make an issue of it, then the government authorities have to take action. The reason they're getting away with it is because, like we've done for many years, we just shrug our shoulders and we walk away silently and let them get away with this garbage. They are committing crimes. They're violating the criminal code, and nobody's holding them accountable.
Well, the thing is, I'm seeing it in the way of the criminal code kind of is lax, you know, compared to what it was, because Homeland Security has a base there, and it's like they're in charge of all sanctuary cities, you know. And that's what their goal is to give sanctuary to undocumented to some extent. And I always thought, well, aren't they the ones supposed to deport them? But
giving them sanctuary from what?
From, you know, the ICE type people.
Yeah, sanctuary from being prosecuted. And
right.
Why would they be prosecuted? Because they're breaking the law.
Exactly, and I just don't get how is it we have one national agency like Homeland Security kind of trying to defeat ICE. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's a landmark decision that you need to take note of. It was Sheriff Mack versus the U.S. And this was on gun rights, actually. I think it had to do with the Brady Bill. But anyway, Sheriff Mack won. This went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that the county sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer in the state, and that includes the feds. The county sheriff has authority over federal agents. So Americans need to contact the sheriff's department and have the sheriff initiate an investigation of conspiracy to violate the immigration laws of the United States.
This is something Joe Arpaio's become very adept at proving.
Yeah, and I think people don't understand that sheriffs have a lot of power. They're like governors as well, you know. I mean, they have a lot of – my game warden here has more power than the sheriff does, actually. But, I mean, you know, we have to go to the sheriff. But, yeah, the point well taken, and this needs to be done because they are committing a crime. This is the whole political correctness thing of, well, but, you know, they got children. You know, it's the children. They've got children in this country. We have to take care. You know, we don't really. I mean, there's ways around that. You know, there's ways to deal with that situation. But until we enforce the law, which we're not really doing, and we're not doing to the total capability. Because from what I heard, and Bill, you might be, you're probably a lot more astute as far as this goes, given your background, is that you can only deport somebody so many times, from what I gather.
Well, I don't know
what
the administrative rule is, but there is no law in the United States to say if you commit a crime enough times, you're allowed to get away with it. So. That would, if there is something like that, it's just some silly rule made up by a bureaucrat. What we need is for Americans to bring lawsuits against the city officials for malfeasance of duty, for failing to uphold their oath to follow the Constitution. I see some great lawsuits here potentially. We just need to have the fangs to step up and take a bite out of them.
Well, see, the thing that really got us all up in arms about this was 2009. Two of the undocumented over in South Sioux came over to Sioux City, and that's crossing state lines too. And they ended up raping and killing a 3-year-old. And then Iowa wanted to prosecute, but they weren't allowed to because they were under sanctuary in Nebraska, and they had gotten back to them before, or back to Nebraska before they were discovered to have been the culprits, you know. And then next thing we knew here, Mexico was basically saying, no, you got to send them back to Mexico because they're actually Mexican citizens. So it was like, you know, here we have, I have a really, really decent friend here who, one of the things that I've spoken to her about is when she moved here like 15 years ago from Mexico, and she's the first one to say, yeah, you got to put it in the rearview mirror. And she is someone who, she doesn't even let her children speak Spanish outside the home because that's how, you know, much she appreciates America. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that really, when this happened, she knew the mother of that 3-year-old very well. And actually, one of the culprits was a relative of a friend of hers, you know, who was trying to get here legally and stuff. I mean, it was just like, wow, it turned into a big circus. And she's the first one that'll always tell me, we just got to flush them out somehow and get them out of the America, because this isn't the America she moved to.
Are you a member of a local group, a Tea Party or 912, somebody like that, Act for America?
Well, I was a part of the the delegation when we had the caucus and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was the police here on something because of the internet stuff.
Well, one of the rules of 48, the 48 rules, laws of powers is an excellent book for history. Anyway, one of the rules of power is to say what people are thinking. When you say what people are thinking, they will flock to your cause. What you need to do is to start putting out the word publicly in your neighborhood, and you will get both sides. The people who oppose you will come forward, and the people who stand with you will come forward, and you need to start making an issue of it. Petition drives at local fairs or something like that. You need to band together with people in your neighborhood, people you can meet with and plan strategies with, and then get with me on my website. Send me an email. Let me know how you're doing, and I will help you develop a plan to retake your community and to start making an impact against some of these crimes that are being committed against you and your fellow citizens.
Yes, definitely. Bill's a very outgoing person, and he will get back with you. I guarantee that. Thank you, Billy, so much. Let's get Harry back on. See if he's on here now. Hello, Harry.
Wild Bill, how in the world is the people's friend?
Hey, doing good, Harry. Well, how are you doing tonight?
Couldn't imagine being any better. You know, I've been listening in, and I completely agree what you're saying, Bill, with regard to, you know, putting people into the Senate and into the House and how little it's doing for us. And frankly, what we need to do is take things back from the state level. And I could not agree with that more. Frankly, the one thing that started scaring me most about our current administration is Obama's love of executive fiat. But even that doesn't scare me any more than something else that you guys touched on today, and that's the UN. Mm-hmm. Now, on the one hand, if there's one thing the Obama administration does not want to do, they don't want to give up power. And they would have to give up power if they signed a lot of these things that are going on within the UN now. But not only does the UN want our guns, the UN wants to be able to put sanctions on this country that have to do with our legal process. And I'll tell you something, if there is something to be fearful of, I think there is probably no individual item that, at least, that is more scary to me than that.
Well, I tell you, the United Nations meddling in American affairs is something that will stir people up on our side. Now, since Obama's reelection and the massive voter fraud, we're seeing millions of Americans who have never been active stand up and say they're ready to get busy. But we need to give them direction. This is why I want 2013 to be the biggest Tea Party membership drive in America. They've been signing people up for years, and now is the time for us to start having Tea Party conventions in all 50 states, because people will flock to them. They know the liberal left agenda is a failure, and they want options. And I think, Harry, that we can use the Tea Party momentum to keep the UN out of the United States.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right, Bill. And what's really been happening for such a long period of time is the liberals, the Democratic liberal, I should say, progressive party, because there are really three separate groups. There are the Democrats, which go back to my parents, which many of them have left because they feel the Democratic Party has left them. Then you have liberals, which are kind of, more of the middle of the road type. And then what you have is what I call the liberal progressives. And that is really the folks. They want you to understand one thing and one thing only, and that is you have no voice. Don't stand up. Don't talk. Don't step forward. Don't do anything. You have no voice in this America of ours. And I'll tell you what, when that kind of belief becomes pervasive, you know, you start to believe it. It's like the old adage, you know, if you're able to say the same thing 10 times, by the 11th time, somebody who was diametrically opposed to it is going to believe it. And thank God we have folks like you, Wild Bill, who not only have a website that give us some direction, but over and above the direction, like you told the other lady that was on, here is specifically what you need to do. And you come to my website and you ask me the question, I'm going to give you the information to take your city back.
Well, that's what we need. We've got millions of people all across this nation who want to do something, but they're not sure what to do. So we need to give them direction. That's one thing that I will do. Anybody wants to come to my website, www.wildbillforamerica.com, send me a note. We'll talk. We'll come up with a plan for your area. I'll help in any way that I can.
Very well. Thank you very much, Harry. Hang tight. Wild Bill, if we can, I'd like to bring in, we've got a lot of callers that just want to try to get in. So if you've got to go, we understand, but we've got a stacked board here of folks that just want to try to get in and ask a question of you. So I'd like to bring in a friend of ours, Richard Gates, now. Richard, come on in here, buddy.
How you guys doing?
Doing terrific, Richard.
You know, I've got a real fear about Agenda 21 and like the discussion's been going on about the United Nations. And the problem with Agenda 21 is at the local level. They keep coming in, and I've attended two local meetings of groups from one of the colleges here in Iowa that has been coming down and putting this crap out about Agenda 21, and they make their suggestions, and they're very, very subtle about it, making it sound all nice and rosy that, you know, oh, we're going to do all these good things. And the end game is they want to take away our property rights. They want to move everybody into these urban centers, take away our cars, and depend, you know, make us dependent upon the railways to move from one cultural or from one population center to the next, while determining that 80% of American land is returned to a wilderness area and human activity is restricted.
Yeah, Agenda 21 is pure evil, and the liberal left that's pushing it knows the effectiveness of working at the local levels. That's why we need to be there to meet them. This is one reason why I want our people to stop focusing so much on presidential and U.S. Congress elections and start in their own state. That's where we can beat Agenda 21 to the punch. If we pack the state legislatures with like-minded people, then Agenda 21 will die on the vine. But, yeah, this is why it's important for us to get started right away, because the liberal left is going to try to beat us to the punch by getting control of our towns and city councils.
Well, and they've been doing this for 120 years. They've had a big head start on us.
Well, America's been in existence for well over 200, and the bad guys really didn't get started in this country until the 1960s with the hippie movement. And I think that we can use the lessons we have learned, and if we can wake up enough people and give them direction, give them marching orders, we outnumber the liberal left by at least 2-1, probably more than that. And I have every confidence that we will maintain freedom in this country, but it is going to take a fight.
Well, you know,
what do you think about repealing the 17th Amendment?
I'm not sure. I think.
Well, let me refresh your memory on that. That's where, because originally the state legislatures elected our senators, and that gave them a voice in Washington. The 17th Amendment made that a popular vote, and on the progressive agenda, that was their intent, was to make more of a popular vote, more of a pure democracy instead of a Republican form of government.
Well, if you want to get Americans on your side, you need to approach things from their perspective. What did they get out of it? And the 17th Amendment would be a political discussion that really doesn't affect families. But if you want to talk about how Agenda 21 will strip people of their property rights, then you'll get their attention. Or if you want to talk about how liberalism contributes to child abuse, slavery and things like that, high taxes, that's when Americans will sit up and take notice. I'd like for us to try to avoid technical issues that will only interest a few Americans who like talking politics. You see what I mean?
I see what you mean,
exactly,
but I think we can tie that all in together, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, just don't use technical language. Go ahead, Bing.
I was going to say it takes time. You know, these people have had time to entrench. They've had time to dig in. They've had time to spread their message of filth and hatred and everything all over, you know, the schools and the media and so on. It's going to take time. This is not going to happen next year, people. You know, this ain't going to happen.
No, it's not.
It's going to take a long time.
Can
it's
I
going
add something to that?
As long, if not longer, than what they've had already, which has been over 100 years. So, but you, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just like to say that, you know, the liberals, they attack us with, you know, not just one or two issues every year. They attack us with several hundred different issues to try and defend against. And I think it's time that we adopt somewhat of a similar strategy where we just put on them a whole lot of things to fight against. And then,
I agree.
You know, we pick up two or three here and there every year, and we just keep the barrage going.
That is absolutely right. I talk to people who are very discouraged because the liberals are bleeding us from 1,000 cuts. And if we play defense, constantly trying to put out these little fires and put Band-Aids on all the cuts, we'll end up losing the war. What we need to do is focus on the solution, and that is God and country values. We need to take the fight to the enemy. It's time for the liberals to start having to defend and back up and fight. Let's make them duck and dodge. Now, the reason
That's
I
right.
say God and country values is because, think about it, guys, those are the two things that the liberal left hate and attack more than anything else: respect for God and his word and patriotic feelings for this country. The liberal left attack those more than anything else because they know that those two things have the power to totally destroy the liberal agenda. So as conservative Americans, we need to focus on the solution, God and country values, not these 1,000 attacks that we see every day from the left.
So we need our own 1,000 attacks, you know? I mean, you return mortar fire with mortar fire and artillery, and you send in the bombers, whatever it takes, but it's overwhelming force that's going to win the discussion.
Exactly. We need a conservative shock and awe moment to push the liberal left back. And if we can get people in their groups working in their cities, we can do exactly that.
Before I bring Chuck in, Wild Bill, I just wanted to say, you know, my only concern, and everything you're saying, I agree with wholeheartedly, and it's the same exact thoughts that I've had in the way we have to approach things, and I think all of us have had in our various Tea Parties and 9/12 meetings and whatnot. But my fear, and even though he got less votes this time around than he did in 08, the fact of the matter is this election proved one thing to me, and that is there's more moochers than there are people that are willing to get up off their ass and do something. And I'm simply afraid that we've reached the tipping point in America, and that I have little hope that we're going to be able to turn it around.
Well, this is another reason why we need the states to get control of the federal government, because without those of us who work and pay taxes, the moochers aren't going to have anything. They can vote all they want to. If we stop contributing to their little goody sack, they'll lose. And we're working on some comprehensive tax reform that will give the states more control over the taxes that their citizens pay. And I'm hoping that we're going to get a state sooner or later that will vote in something like the fair tax movement for their states to opt out of the federal system. It would be a huge political battle, but it would certainly be a very necessary one. And if we get 1, 2, 3 states that will vote in the fair tax movement, then America will see what serious tax reform can do, and that could be the end of the liberal left in America.
Well, and I honestly don't see how they don't see it now by just taking, for example, California and Texas. two of the largest states, two of the largest populations, with two almost equal in their resources, two of the largest coastlines, one very right-leaning, one very left-leaning, one in bankruptcy, and one that's doing very well.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. And if you guys can get control of your state legislatures, start putting forth the ideas. I'll help with that.
Well, let's bring Chuck in here a while, Bill.
Well, thank you, Michael. And thank you, Bill, for coming on our show today.
My chopped liver?
Oh, sorry, Bing.
That's all right.
Didn't leave you out.
Chuck from Alaska.
Just got a little excited there is all. Wasn't quite expecting to be on yet. With regards to the United Nations, I don't know if anybody really realizes this, but they were sort of mentioned in the Declaration. And I'll read that. It's quick. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. Now, the UN didn't exist in 1776, but gosh.
Certainly applies today, though, doesn't it?
The concept sure did, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I see that.
Yes, and they truly exist today. You know, so.
That's a good starting point when you start arguing the UN. Should we allow international law to become a part of American law? And by that, the founders obviously thought that our laws should be the supreme law. And so obviously the answer was no.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to argue with you on that. The UN needs to tread very carefully in America because there's a lot of distrust of that organization. They've proven themselves to be one of the biggest frauds in the world as far as incompetence. And I did a video last year called I Have a Dream, and my dream was of the American president walking out and announcing that the United States has withdrawn its membership in the United Nations and is forming a new union with free market nations and going to leave the third world despots and dictators of the UN to play with each other. So I still have that dream. Go ahead.
I like that dream.
Well, thank you, Chuck. I got to get another couple calls in here, or at least one more, because I know Bill don't have a lot of time. So thank you so much.
No, go ahead and bring your callers on. I'll hang on for the callers.
Oh, we got a lot of them, but I don't know how much time you got to spend with us today, Bill. But I want to thank you graciously for doing it. Kurt, you're on deck here. You're on air right now.
Hey, Bill. Hey, it's my pleasure, Phil. I've seen several of your YouTube videos, and you do the message really well.
I found
it ironic that you were using the phraseology and I forgot the fourth word. You said God and country something. Well, what was that you said?
Well, I believe that the solution to America's problems is very simple. We need to focus on God and country values, traditional American values. Yeah,
that was what you got in country values. I have a fellow over here in West Tennessee where I am that just launched an online newspaper for it's going to focus on about five or six counties over here, and he has named it the God and Country Chronicle.
Excellent.
And I think that, you know, I'll link you up with that sometime. As a matter of fact, it's just starting to get off the ground. I don't know what his game plan is for the long run. We're going to start and try it here, you know. A platform to put out the message to people that don't get it in mainstream media. But anyway, mm-hmm. You're doing a great job, and I like what you're saying there, especially when you're talking about our 10th Amendment rights. You're talking, you know, dear to my heart there, because that's what we're going to focus on here in Tennessee, is a state legislature. Okay, you keep
Excellent.
Doing your thing. You keep doing your thing while Bill and talk to the other folks on the line. It's my pleasure, sir.
Good talking to you, sir. Keep up the good work out there.
And Kurt's a fellow Tennessee Vol, and he's doing some great work out there, Bill. Very, very good work. Thank you, Kurt. Let's go ahead and get Fred on the line here. Fred?
Oh, now you're asking for trouble.
Hello, Fred. Fred actually is the co-founder of Traditional American Movement with me, Bill. So,
okay.
So you know.
All right, Bill. Been watching your work for years. You're great.
Oh, thank you, sir. Good to talk to you.
Hey, I wanted to change the subject, kind of go back to one of your themes. We're all just sort of disjointed. There's been a lot of unrest or disquiet about the fact that the Tea Party movement doesn't seem to be taking a hand overall. You know, it's all separate movements and groups. And for about 4 years, well, you can tell from the name of our website, I've been pushing the idea that we need an umbrella name, and the one that fits best is Traditional American Movement, and that encompasses the Tea Parties and the 912ers and everybody else that's on our side.
Yeah,
that
I like
way
that.
That way, instead of trying to say, you know, we Tea Partiers, we conservatives, we churchgoers, by the time you finish explaining who the heck you are, you already lost the argument.
Go ahead.
The one thing that we've had Tea Parties disparaged in the media, and conservatives have been have a stink put on them, and that's the way they always work. But there's one thing that they haven't been able to attack and they avoid. You'll hear them going against God or against guns or against the rest of us, but they won't say a thing about going against American tradition. They go around it. They go completely around it. And if we started all calling ourselves traditional Americans, and when we had a call to arms, it was all traditional Americans, come here.
You know, that might work. That might work. You're right.
I haven't found anybody. I've tried a whole bunch of strangers. Of course, I'm on a mountain in Idaho, so I've got a whole bunch of conservatives and not many liberals around here.
Man, I can't think of a better place to be.
Yeah, well, I can't either. That's why I'm here, brother. But the thing is, every time I say I'm a traditional American, instead of saying I'm a conservative, I get an immediate me too from everybody.
Well, do you have a website on this, or do you have a statement of
Definitely.
Traditional American values? I'd like to see more on that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thanks for giving it to
you. Bill?
Go ahead.
It's the one I emailed you to, or Bill. It should be in my SIG line. We're not tighter than Fort Knox, but I mean, we don't allow, we're not like a website where we just allow open discussion, because to me, it's not, we are not there for an open debate. We know what we want to get accomplished, and we want a small group to get it accomplished. So it's not like townhall.com or any of these other sites where just people can sit there and just keep rambling on. Because, and the same thing with YouTube. I've seen a lot of your videos on YouTube, and I look at some of the comments, and they're just disgusting. And I wanted to ask you that, too. I'm sure you have to look at some of these idiotic comments on your website. And I'm just thinking, how do you handle that psychologically? I mean...
Well,
blow them off totally. I mean, you must have, you must be the Teflon Don or something, because I could not handle some of it, you know.
Well, you're talking about the YouTube comments. That's where I get all the hate mail from, and you're right. Some of them just get absolutely vile. I've started blocking a few of them, but I also post them on Facebook. I have 5,000 Facebook friends, and they're absolutely incredible. They are the most supportive bunch I've ever run into. So I hit the hate mail first every morning, and I hear from the atheists and the perverts and the leftists who just wish me death and destruction. And I will occasionally answer one or two of them, but most of them, I just ignore them. I don't even want them to know. But what happens is these guys get to having discussions back and forth with each other, you know, some defending me, some attacking me, and these discussions go on for weeks. And every time they do, I go higher in the search engines and more people get to see my videos. Plus, every time they run one of my videos, I make a little money on the advertisements, so they're beginning to pay my bills for me. So,
you know, that's the beautiful thing, man, if these people do not understand what they do.
I've always been a believer that besides the friends you keep, you can also be judged by the enemies that you have. So
yes.
I enjoy it when I get nasty comments, anything I post or any videos I've ever posted or anything like that. I rather enjoy it. I wear it as a badge of honor.
Oh, it gets you hits, you know, and so on. It's a great thing. I just think that these people, the more they spout off and the more they open their mouth off, the more stupid it makes them look.
Yes, give them enough rope. Well, hey, you know, now that while I've got you guys here, what is the chances that you and some of your listeners could put your heads together and start planning a Tea Party convention in your area? If you will do that, I will come out there and be one of the speakers. I would even MC it if you want me to. I MC'd the Florida Tea Party Convention, and it was a huge success. I love doing that.
Oh, that'd be something we'd entertain, man, definitely. I mean, Kurt probably, in Tennessee anyways, Kurt knows everybody. He probably knows almost as many people as God does. You know, I've said that before, too. And
well, good. Let's get Kurt busy.
Yeah, let's get – well, he is a busy man, man. He does more work than anybody I know that's a quarter of his age. But, yeah, if we get enough people together, I'm sure we could do something at least in the southeast here. You northern Yankee people and you people in the blue states, you're on your own.
Well, you put out the call and you watch. People will come from miles around. Down in Daytona Beach, Florida, we had people from Seattle, Canada – England, and I probably just about all 50 states. They came for miles around, drove for days to attend this Tea Party convention.
Well, check our site out, Bill, traditionalamericanmovement.com, and if you want to join, please join. I'll get you – it's an approval process. But the thing is that – and I have to say a little thing here – is that I do kind of take your videos and post them on the website, but they are linked back to YouTube. So everything's cool there, okay? It's just that we love you over there, and we let spread the word, spread the message, brother. And I got to say, I love what you're doing here. Michael –
Let's try to bring Barbara in here real quick if we can. I think she's one of the last folks. We've got a few, but I definitely want to get Barbara in here. She's been waiting for about 50 minutes.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Barbara. Wild Bill, this is our buddy from North Carolina, Barbara. Barbara, we got Wild Bill on.
Wild Bill, for coming in today. I love your videos.
Oh, thank you for hanging on, Barbara. It's good to talk to you. Actually, I'm in North Carolina right now.
Oh, you really? Where are you about?
I'm just outside of Raleigh, going to be here for a while, so I'd love to meet up with some like-minded people in this area.
Really? Yeah, because I'm not far outside of Raleigh either, but I work in Raleigh.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we can hook up for coffee one of these days and maybe do some brainstorming.
That would be a perfect idea, actually.
So what's on your mind tonight?
Well, you know, we were talking about the immigrants earlier, and, you know, Billy was talking about the okay areas where it's okay to have these illegal, undocumented, I'm not a politically correct person.
Yes, sanctuary cities, yes.
Whatever. But if people, this is the deal where I'm seeing it is, the president's saying now that it's okay, whereas a couple of years ago he said, no, it's not okay. And then he went ahead and overrode it. So I think a lot of people are saying, oh, well, the president did it and said it, so we have no grounds to stand on. And I'm thinking that that's where a lot of people are backing off, and then we're the bad guys when we try to uphold the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, it pisses me off.
That's well said.
But well, everybody here knows that.
Yeah. So Barbara is our outspoken buddy.
Good, I like that.
We love to have Barbara. Barbara, she tells it. She doesn't sugarcoat it. That's what makes her so lovable.
Well, what I find funny about Barbara is she's in North Carolina, but she's got a Long Island accent.
Yeah, I bring my accent and attitude wherever I go.
That's fine, hon. We love y'all just the same.
So, you know, in a situation like that, really, where I know we can fight.
Yes.
What I did a couple of weeks ago, and I actually started looking more at it today and last night, was the Constitution COP. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, the Constitutional Oversight Posse.
Hmm.
I joined that, and so I talked to one of the members today, and I'm gonna get more involved in that. And basically, what we're doing is the same thing everybody else is trying to do. You know, mm-hmm. Here's our Constitution. Here's the law of the land. We're going to hold you accountable and responsible. And for those who don't like it, go to another country. Get the hell out.
Well, tell you what, why don't you go to my website, www.wildbillforamerica.com, send me a private message, and you and I will get together and start making plans, and then maybe we can come back on this show again in a week or two and lay out some plans for the listeners so they can get involved.
That's awesome.
That'd be great. We'd appreciate that, Bill.
I also emailed my representative, Renee Elmers, so and she's been wonderful, actually. She's been very active in repealing Obamacare and getting to the bottom of Benghazi Gate. So I know that I've got her on our side, and here in North Carolina, as everyone knows, I'm so excited we went Republican.
Yes.
And as for the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Forrest, I emailed him prior to the elections, and I emailed a bunch of people to find out what they knew about Agenda 21. And Dan Forrest was the only one that knows about it, talked about it, and is totally against it and fighting against it. So he had my vote, of course. So,
well, I haven't put this out to anybody, but this what's been on my mind lately is that one of the things the states need to do when they rise up and assert their 10th Amendment rights is begin taking back federal land and making it state-owned land. That would cripple Agenda 21 because then they'd have to go state by state to try to get their authority.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, the whole thing is we have to get back to grasp the whole movement, this whole movement, whether you want to call it Tea Party, Traditional Americans, whatever, 911 people, this whole movement is grassroots. This is not made up. This is not Hollywood. This is not what the elitist liberal left have promoted and spent a lot of money on. We don't have a lot of money to spend on these things, so we have to watch what we do and be careful as far as what we say and so on. Because as Bill said, we are attacked on fronts. We're being cut by daggers all over, even when we have our back turned. So, but the thing is that if we all, as groups, get together under one umbrella, that will make it happen. But
exactly.
when we are separate and when we care about our sovereignty as individual groups more than the country, then we will fail. There's no doubt about it. We'll fail.
Thanks,
we
Barbara.
Have to
hang
be,
tight.
Thanks,
let's
Barbara.
Try to get in if we could here real quick, Bing. I was just going to interject while you were talking. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. We just thought we got two more folks in here that I want to get on with Wild Bill before he has to cut out, and that'd be Rick Bulo and Padre Thomas. So Rick, come on in here, and Thomas, you're on deck, and then I'm sure Wild Bill has got his afternoon needs to get after his afternoon. But I did want to get these last two callers in, Bill. So go ahead, Rick.
Hey, Wild Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you. What's on your mind tonight?
Good to talk to you, too. Well, I was just saying that, I mean, your videos are phenomenal, and if many people don't see them, then they're just lost. I mean, I remember the first time that I had seen your video. I mean, it was a spot on, you know, you would nail the truth correctly, and yet many people who didn't see it are just basically lost.
Well, I would like to get the message out to more people, and I'm going to be doing more traveling in the next few months and next year to speak to people face-to-face. If you guys have a group or if you put on some kind of a public picnic or something, it would be my honor to show up and be one of the speakers at something like that. Because the more we make waves in public, the faster our message is going to get out and the more people will rally to our side. So keep that in mind. Let's work together and try to do some face-to-face stuff.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I haven't gone into a TTC or a 912 group here in Florida, but I do have one better. I'm also a host of right here in the Conservative Nation Radio Network on Saturdays called Red, Red, and Blue, and I'd love to have you come on sometime.
Well, send me a message on my website, and we'll talk about it. Sounds like a good offer.
Well, let's do that, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I will.
Thanks, Rick.
Hang tight, buddy. Yeah, Bill, we do Conservative Nation Radio shows, has my show and four other shows, and we're always looking to do. We've still got hours to basically what it is I've bought the subscription two summers ago and have found great people like Billy Cotter and Brenda Ward and Rick and Bing and I and just, we do I donate 2 hours to them a week to do a conservative radio show, and they've just flown with it. And I'm really proud of what me and my friends have built with Conservative Nation radio shows. Thomas, come on in here. Speaking of Blog Talk radio shows, one of my friends from a sister network, the Invisible Conservative, Padre Smith, come on in here. We've got Wild Bill on.
Hey, how are you, Rick? Or Rick, Mike, everybody, Bing, Wild Bill. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Padre.
Very good.
Well, you know what? I've been listening for a while, and I have to let a little cat out of the bag, because as everybody knows, at the end of the elections, you had the establishment coming out and basically saying that we need to maybe start to moderate, being more like those on the left to try to win more people. Well, Wild Bill, I want to let you in on something, because just to explain my name, I called myself the Invisible Conservative, making fun of liberals because they don't think that black conservatives exist. And over the next few years, you're going to see black conservatives actually take back our party. And let me explain what I mean by that is, and you probably know this based on your extensive research and all this stuff, but originally, the Republican Party, the party of freedom, values, the party was started in opposition to slavery. So from the very beginning, the history of the Republican Party was about life and liberty and freedom for all people, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. But what has happened? Our establishment country club Republican leadership has gotten so far away from the noble cause on which this party was founded that at the top, they're no different than the liberals that they claim to not like. You know, and we all know that they're cutting backroom deals together, you know. But here's what's going on. For longest time, and I got this from a lot of my friends who are conservative, and why they were like, Thomas, We need more black conservatives to step up. And for the longest time, that used to bother me because I'm like, we're a team. We have to do this together. It's not about one doing, you know, somebody leading a cause. But here's the interesting thing. Every Southern Republican Party, state Republican Party in the South after the Civil War was started by primarily black Republicans. And as we all unify and strengthen our voices as one unified voice and not groups like and I'm not talking like Tea Party groups, but I mean like trying to break down into demographics like the liberals do, we will truly become the powerful force that we used to be. Because what it boils down to, and yes, we got idiots in our party too, but there's more on the left.
That's and for sure.
As we strengthen and as we unify and we look past all the other garbage that the liberals say that we are, because quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of the Tea Party, and God bless the Tea Party. My spiritual mother in the faith, who's a white woman, started the In God We Trust Tea Party group in Kansas City, Missouri, of which I am a very proud part of, and I'm sick and tired of hearing how the Tea Party is always racist. And you know what? While at the same time, those jerks on the left, and excuse my expression, folks, but the people on the left, they say all kinds of racist things, and but they get it swept under the rug. So
yes, they do.
I just had a comment, and I just wanted to tell you to keep up the good work, because I was put in contact with you through a friend of mine, Bill Lumen. So.
Oh yeah, I know Bill Lumen. He's a good man. Yeah. Well, thank you for your comments. That is excellent, and you're right. The number one attack the left makes against the Tea Party is accusations of racism. But you know what? To a racist, everything is a skin color issue. If you guys want to know who the real racists are in America, look at who tries to turn everything into a skin color issue. And the padre there makes a good point. After the Civil War, when the blacks were freed, within a few years, 22 blacks were elected to the United States Congress. And that's shortly after the Civil War. Every single one of them was a Republican. And believe it or not, 13 of those new congressmen were former slaves. That's quite a history, and America needs to know that it was the Republicans that made that possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Padre is
Padre,
also
a
chapter
ahead,
president
Michael.
Of the Frederick Douglass Society, so he stands to teach us a lot about, especially dealing with a lot of those historical facts of that nature. Padre is just full of it. But anyway, go ahead, Bing, take it over and wrap it up.
I was just going to say, Padre, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for participating. Bill, I know you've got my blood pressure riled up here quite a bit. But that's cool because I'm used to it. But I kind of like to know, what's your next video coming up? Can you give us a little clue, a hint?
Oh, let's see. I've got about four of them here, and I really haven't decided which one I'm going to do next. I think it's going to be called Retaking the High Ground, where I'm going to encourage us to take back things that have been seized from us from the left. For instance, you know, they've taken control of our public education. They're churning out little extremists with no respect for our country. They've taken control of most of the news media and turned them into propaganda outlets, but you know, Blog Talk Radio and other outlets are combating that fairly effectively. Hollywood, of course, is completely sold out to an anti-God, immoral agenda, and the voter fraud is definitely going to be a big one. So, yeah, I figure if the Marines were able to take Iwo Jima in World War II, we ought to be able to take Washington D.C. ourselves.
Well,
oh,
we're
definitely.
We're certainly keep doing our end over here, Bill. Bing and I and Padre Smith and Conservative Nation Radios and Traditional American Movement. I mean, we're, you know, today's a good example. I mean, we're having we're having some bang up numbers today, and we've been having good numbers every week. Our numbers are getting stronger. I've noticed over the past few months, people are tuning in, people are listening. I've been noticing it. I think you've been seeing some more hits on your site.
Oh yeah, our membership is up quite a bit, and it's quality members too. See, another thing you have to understand is that there's a lot of people that you might have 40,000 people in one Tea Party group, but there's probably only 5 or 10% that actually participate. Maybe even less than that. I don't know. In our group, pretty much there's a lot that participate. I'd like it to be more, but the way it is right now, it's great, you know. So. But, yeah, I wanted to say, Bill, you know, just thanks so much for getting back to me. And I've got 15 acres out here. And after you said that about speaking, I'm thinking about having a party. I've got a full dance floor out in the back with musical instruments and all that kind of stuff. So, and I could shoot guns out here, so you can bring your own.
That's
man.
Perfect.
So,
well, I tell you, one thing I've been pushing Tea Party groups to do is to have community picnics where the whole town is invited, where people can dance in the street, enjoy good food, and listen to good, powerful, traditional American speakers. You let me know. You get one of those going, I will be on my way.
Well, that sounds like a plan, people. What do you think? I mean, you know, I'm in Tennessee, but... I mean, that sounds like a plan to me. But, yeah, Bill, thank you so much for being on the show today. And please, you know, check us out, and I'll keep in touch. And we'll definitely kick this around. We'll kick this can down the road here because we've got to get going. We've got to get motivated. We've got to get people centralized, focused, gelled.
And you know what else we got to do?
What's that?
We've got to have a whole lot of fun along the way. And we're going to have a lot of fun riling up the liberals.
Oh, I love doing that. I love doing that.
We'll be dancing in the streets, my friend. So keep in touch. Let's put our heads together and start motivating America.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me on, everybody, and God bless America again. Good night.
Oh, great.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Great show. Excuse me, Bing. Great show. Great guest. I really did enjoy that. And, you know, we've still got stacked lines. Fortunately, we got the only person we weren't able to get to was I think it was our old friend Stanley, but he disconnected there towards the end. But we've still got everybody else online. If we just want to maybe just kind of open it up, we've got about 30 minutes left and start going through and letting people talk and do whatever. I don't know. You kind of go with it, bro. My throat's a little scratchy right at the moment, so.
Oh, is it really?
I didn't know. It's like you couldn't tell.
No, that's fine. And Stanley, I had to kind of get off chat because he was just disruptive. I can't take that no more, you know. So when people are disruptive, I'm not going to put up
with it. We gave Stanley his opportunity the other week, and he's welcome.
Stanley had more than enough time, actually. And if he wants to get his own show, he can get his own show. You know?
Absolutely. We gave Stanley a whole show and done with that. I enjoyed it. He's a fine guy, but we've got really good, strong friends that listen to us that are devoted to this show. That this show is for them, and that's what I want the shows to be about, not about Stanley.
Right. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and open it up for pretty much everybody that's on, if that's okay with you, and
let's just do it.
Have a free for all.
I'm going to step away and get me some water, actually. So y'all get after it.
All I know is my name's Gary, and I want my own show. By golly, what is this about?
Yeah, who's going to give it to him?
I'll tell you what, if you're not subscribed over there to Wild Bill or visit his website, please check it out. It's wildbillforamerica.com. And his videos are all over YouTube. You can't miss it. Just search for Wild Bill. And his videos also are over at traditionalamericanmovement.com. We love him over there. He's a fine patriot. So, very good guest. The guy speaks, like I said, he speaks logically. He doesn't speak from the heart totally. He speaks with a heart, but logically with his brain. And there's a big difference.
He tells it like it is.
Yeah, he tells it like
definitely.
It is. We need more people like that, and that he is ready and willing to lend his talents, which he's very talented at what he does, to whatever endeavors we feel that we need to pursue. So I'm gonna take him up on his offer. I think I'm gonna see what kind of, I don't know about a convention, but definitely a big big weekend long kind of party thing. You know,
barbecue.
Just have a speaker, barbecue, whatever, picnic.
Yeah.
You know.
Barbecue.
Hey, Bing.
Yes.
Make it a barbecue party, camp out, and a musical concert. Lisa's over. I just asked if Lisa was going to go to your party, and she says, "What party?" Bing hasn't said anything about a party. So when you put that together, you got to have music. And besides, you could beat your drums for Lisa then.
There you go.
Beat his guns or beat his drums?
Oh, Lord.
Drums. I've got a set of drums here, all right? Revert.
Beat his drums or beat his gums?
Keep it PG.
Well, that too.
I noticed.
I know it was a bad joke. I couldn't resist.
We can make up some really good targets.
Bing Scott.
Oh, yeah. I get some of them explosive ones. See, I'm in an unincorporated area where I'm at, so I can shoot guns out here wherever I'm at. And I got 15 acres to do that. So, like I said, it's
big
right.
Stop. Yeah, I like that one.
It's right for that.
Hey, guys, let me get in here for a minute. I can't stay on long.
Go ahead.
I enjoy the show, and I think you guys are great. And you know, and I listen to the archives when I can't listen live. But I'm a little bit disappointed that Stan was booted out of the room. You know, he's on my show quite often, and I think that, you know, to have like-minded individuals listen to your show and participate is really great. But I think also what we should embrace dissenting views from time to time, so that you know, we're not all just you know, walking in lockstep. And you know, I think that all too often I've appeared on some conservative shows where if they didn't agree with what I had to say, even though I'm ultra conservative, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity style, you know, I've been booted from rooms and or put on mute simply because I don't agree with the host or perhaps some of the guests, and I think that often we do a disservice by you know, booting a person or muting them because they don't agree with our point of view. I mean, if they take the time to come in and listen to your show and participate, I mean, that's everybody's time is valuable, and I think that should be respected.
That's fine. A dissenting view, a healthy debate is one thing, okay,
mm-hmm.
to come into a room
right.
and disrupt it. Now, Stanley had, last week mm-hmm. or the week before, he had quite a bit of time to sit there and explain. Actually, he had a lot more time than I would have allocated.
Michael
allocated a lot of time to him.
Dan comes into my shows all the time, and I'll tell you.
It's not a debate club. If he wants his own show, he can get it. All he
my
has to do is
rule. My own rule is that if they become insulting to the other people or if they become disruptive, I mean, to the point that, you know, everybody else that's listening is distracted by
how
his
do you disrupt
rhetoric.
How do you disrupt a radio show if you're in a chat room? How does that happen?
It becomes disruptive if your focus
it becomes disruptive to the people that are hosting the show, because I'm sitting there, I have to be concerned about chat. You understand that. You know that.
Stanley's been in my show for a very long time, and I've not noted him. I mean, the only way he could possibly disrupt the show is if he's being abusive to another chatter or something of that nature, and I've never known him to do that.
There's another way to be disruptive, and that is,
how is it?
in the effect of when the people are in the chat room trying to answer him, and they're thinking of ways to, I don't know, beat him down or whatever it is, or whatever their idea is of how to answer him, they're not listening to the show. That is
right.
to the show.
Right. When the focus shifts away from the show and into a conversation that's not even relevant, it's
and when you come when you come in with an agenda, okay, and he does have an agenda. I'm sorry,
we
he
all
does
do.
Have an agenda. We all. Yeah, that's right, but this is our show. So when you come in with an agenda, and I'm sitting there as a co-host, and I have to sit there and look at people fighting with him, then there's got to be a problem, okay? There's got to be a problem
All right.
somewhere.
I just think that it's
Let me,
you know, when we do these kinds of things, we fall into the same category as liberals who, if they don't agree with us, let me finish my thought and then I'll be quiet.
Go ahead.
If they don't agree with us, or if they're being, quote, disruptive, end quote, if it's conservatives, then they mute us. They kick us out of their rooms. And so what you're doing is you're being just like them, only in reverse. It's just my opinion, though. Because you don't agree.
I was on, Stanley called in, I was on, and he disconnected when I was telling him why I go to school. And why, you know, because he asked the question, you know, what do I think about others making a lot of money? Well, that's what I want to be. That's why I go to school now at 50 years old. And I'm going forward like this, and I'm doing what I have to do because I want to be like that. I don't want to be living paycheck to paycheck. I want a little more out of life than that. My car's about to break down. I need a new car. Well, you know, and things like that. I want to be able to be comfortable. And if I want to go buy myself a new pair of jeans, I can. You know, simple things like that. And Stanley was like, I don't know.
He's not listening. When you don't look, you can have a debate, but when you don't listen to the other person,
you have to be respectful of the host.
Right.
It's that simple. I call into a liberal show, and I'm respectful of their views, and I allow them to make their points, and I make my points. But you have to respect the ground rules that are laid out on whatever show that you're going to talk on or whatever chat room you're on. You
understand.
Can't get in there and be antagonistic.
Yeah,
I will tell you,
but
I'll say this. I'll say this,
this
and then you guys can go ahead and move on. I have never known Stanley to be, I guess we all have our version of what disruptive means, but he's been on my show numerous times. He's called in numerous times. The only thing I've found with Stanley to be slightly annoying is that, you know, he tends to ramble on and on and on and doesn't give anybody a chance to talk, and you got to rein him in. Other than that, you know, you're right. It's your show. It's your format, and you operate it the way that you would like. But I just, you know, I thought I'd. You know, I thought I'd just say something about it.
Well,
Let me jump in.
I want to take responsibility for Stanley myself. This is Michael, and being and I run this show. And I don't like to use it. This is my show kind of thing. It's just mine and being show. But I will take responsibility as the purveyor of conservative nation radio shows. I will take responsibility for Stanley today. I didn't want Stanley on the show because, and I devoted two Sundays ago, I gave Stanley almost the full entire 2 hours at the expense of my other guests who have been with me for years now. Today we had on a very special guest, and Stanley he's not a bad guy, but he does ramble. You're right, he rambles. And for that reason alone, I didn't pull him into the conversation today. So I stand alone. Michael Smith stands alone. And takes responsibility for not pulling in Stanley today. None of my guests do. Bink does it, or nobody.
You have my support, Michael.
Hey, well, I stand behind my fact that I kicked him because he was getting on my nerves. I can't keep going back to chat when I see other people sitting there getting irate with it. You know, that you just gets. I don't know. Just gets under your skin.
I understand. I just thought I'd bring it up because, you know, I think that a lot of times we tend to be more and more, we're getting more and more like liberals when we do these kinds of things.
Can I jump in here for a minute? That's my opinion.
Hold on.
Wait 1 second. I just want to say Stanley has been on my show several times, okay? Several. And I, you know, I've never booted him, but sometimes on my show I'll say, hey, Stan, knock it off. And he does. You know?
Yeah, I know.
But then that also takes my focus away from what I was actually talking to a guest about or something. And then it's like I have to redirect myself. And it comes down to, there are sometimes you either want Occupy Wall Street or you want a flash mob in your audience, okay?
Uh-huh.
So that's how I see it. He sometimes turns into a flash mob.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
you know what? I don't want to take up the rest of you guys' show talking about Stan. I wanted to tell you guys, you know, I'm just slightly disappointed in that you booted him. But you guys have such a great show. You have a great show. I appreciate it a lot. I listen to it when I'm on the road. I listen to it all the time. You guys are great. That's all I wanted. You know, those are the two things I wanted to bring out.
Well, thank you, man.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
And I understand where you're coming from, okay? It's just that, you know, we have assets to protect, you know, and so that's all we're doing.
Well, I understand.
Can I jump in here?
I'm going to go ahead and hang up and listen off.
Go ahead, Padre.
I want to jump in. I want to jump in here first as the very first person whose show Stan originally started coming to. It was my show. And I'ma be very brutally honest with you guys and let you know exactly what he did on my particular show. My Friday show when I started my Pro-Life Friday show been almost a year ago. And I was sharing my personal testimony of what happened to me and my issues with my birth, being an ectopic pregnancy and all that stuff, and how they wanted to take my life. Well, doctors wanted to force my mom to abort me, and she said no. Anyway, long story short, after me sharing everything that I have, everything that happened to me, Stan gets on the show. Okay, because he calls in, I take his call. He basically proceeds to tell me that I'm wrong because the fact that the abortions that he had with his girlfriend, if it wasn't for those abortions, that he wouldn't be able to be the successful business person that he had ever been. And okay, so I have a dialogue with him about that, and I ask him, So you're saying that your being successful in business was more important than life. And essentially, he proceeded to tell me that in the first place, I didn't have a right to be here because that one, my mom's right to an abortion was taken away. And I'm just paraphrasing. So folks think they know Stan, and I give him the benefit of the doubt, but I've dealt with him longer than most people here have. I've dealt with him from the very beginning, and he's not what he's cracked up to be. He is very manipulating. He's very cunning, and you're also dealing with someone who hates God. He's an atheist. That's his choice, but he always comes from those standpoints. And so I understand, Bing, you booting him because he does that every show that he goes on, and I've seen this. He doesn't add anything. He doesn't offer us solutions.
There's just no contribution.
And tells us how wrong we are about everything. That's what liberals do. And quite frankly, I think I've made more of a lot of contributions to life and to others through my kindness than what I'm always being told that I'm not. Or I'm being told that I'm a victim by the liberals or the NAACP. Quite frankly, bruhs and sisses, I'm not a victim because I have a successful radio show just like you guys. There's many of you who are helping me with my conference, Billy. So you guys know me. You know what I'm doing. And I don't need liberals to continue because of the color of my skin tell me that I'm a victim.
See, and this and Padre, this is the discussion that we got into with Wild Bill, okay? Mm-hmm. We need to start owning the narrative. Okay?
Exactly.
We can't just keep talking about it. And what just happened here a few minutes ago? We let the narrative go to a person that came into a chat room, started disrupting that he does all the time. I don't care if you want to sit there and say, well, he doesn't mean it, or he's actually a nice guy, you know, he's on my show all the time. Well, that's fine. If you want him on your show, go ahead and have him on your show. when he can come on the show, we've had him on this show.
Right.
He was on air on this show. We gave him ample time to spout off what he wanted to talk about. He didn't answer one single question. But what we did right now, effectively, is we let him take over this show.
Right.
Towards the end. You see what I'm saying?
I was just
that's what we need to stop. We need to
exactly.
stop. We need to do like Bill said and start taking it to these people.
Instead
of letting them own us. They don't own us.
Exactly. But you know what we also can't do? We can't, when we do that, we have to say, no, we're not being like them. Because it's like the caller said, that when we do that, we're being like liberals. No, we're not.
No,
because
we're not.
Message we have, we are speaking the truth. If we deal with them a dose of their own medicine, speaking the truth, then we're not like them because they're liars and they're in error.
Well, let me ask you something. Did your parents ever whip you? I mean, mine did because I did something wrong. And they did it with love. They did it because they knew I was doing something stupid. I was doing something wrong. And that is what we need to start practicing. We need to start practicing tough love with these liberals and with people that don't understand where we're coming from. We need to make them understand. We need to help them understand, okay? But we also don't need to sit there and coddle them like babies. Because they're not babies. I don't know how old Stanley is, but he sounded to me like he's in his 30s or so.
Yes. Maybe I think he said he was about 25.
Oh, 25?
Yeah, 25.
Yeah, he's a young man. He's a young fella. You know, I'm oftentimes harder on myself. I mean, God knows, my grandfather raised me. I mean, my father was a very important part of my life, but the man that I call my father, who died a few years ago, was really my stepfather. He came into my life when I was about 15. But my grandfather, prior to that, my grandfather raised me, and God knows I got my ass whooped. But I tell you who's harder on me than anybody has ever been, and that's me.
Right.
I should be much harder on myself.
Right.
I mean, I will sit around sometimes. I'll just, for an example, not that I really do it all the time, but just for an example, I'll post something stupid on Facebook, and then I will fret and stress over it because I'm like, God dang it, why did I do that? That was stupid. You know? I'm harder on myself, I think, than anybody. And that's what, I think as conservatives, that's what helps us to define. And maybe a lot of it has to do with my religious beliefs, my Masonic affiliations, you know, and how I circumscribe the boundaries and my passions in life, you know, and as a Mason, there's certain etiquettes we have in which we circumscribe our due passions within bounds. And I just the way that I carry my life. I do things the right way. And if I step outside of that boundary and make a mistake, I kick my ass endlessly over it.
Well, you know, Michael, you can't do that. Well, basically what it boils down to is this, and I learned this from experience. Instead of being hard on yourself and kicking your ass, as you said, you say, okay, I just did something stupid. Don't do it again. You buck up and you say, hey, you learn from your mistakes, because failure isn't when you make a mistake. Failure is when you fail to learn from your mistake that you made.
Right, but there's a lot more in the conservative arena of the guilt of your mistake, because we do choose to turn away from doing it again that way, because there's a guilt.
Right.
I mean, the thing on the left, they have no guilt. I've never seen anybody feel guilty about any bad thing they've done. I mean, look at, like I mentioned, flash mobs. They just keep it up, you know, and all they're doing is just running into a store and stealing stuff and then running back out. And it's ridiculous. And these people actually say, oh, well, guess what? I'm still going to heaven. You know, I get it. It's stupid. That's what I get.
If you don't know the difference between right and wrong, There is no reason for guilt.
Absolutely.
That's a good
but
point.
Yeah, and you have to know what right, what evil is to know what good is, and
right.
vice versa. So I'm going to go down the line, seeing as Michael's a little bit under the weather with his voice here, man. I hope you get better, dude.
Yeah,
but
yeah, let's go ahead, Bing.
Right, I'm going to just go down the list. I'd like to get some final thoughts. We've got 10 minutes left of the show, and I'm going to start off with Harry Glossinger, author of The Resident Beanbag Bible. And if you guys haven't gotten it, you know, please check it out. It's a very good read.
Well,
Harry?
Thank you, Bing. I've enjoyed today's show. There's no question about that. I don't really know this gentleman you've been talking about. But I couldn't help but realize that so many times when I'm on with you good folks and I say, well, I've got to get off, I hear a resounding applause in the background, which I always thought was very rude. But other than that, I think I'll be all right.
I think that's a script we have that runs every time you log in and log out.
That's funny.
We don't even work at it, Harry. It just happens.
Well, you guys are going to regret that when I'm king.
just don't
anyway, forget. Enjoyed the show. Love you guys. Really do. And it was a really good show today. Wild Bill was very much on his game. And I think that there's a lot of good things that we can learn from the boy. And I will certainly spend some time on his website to see if there's some things I can pull off of it that'll be of help, because I'm sure that there are.
Oh, he's bigger than me. I ain't going to call him boy.
Well,
I mean,
you know, you can do a lot of things
to,
on
you
the phone. I mean, you were talking about getting a whooping, Bing. I mean, I tried to put a whooping on you last week, and you weren't standing for that for even a little. So I don't know what's going on over there.
But, you know, it's all good. And the thing is, like I said, you know, and like Bill says, too, he's serious. I mean, this guy is definitely serious. If you watch his last couple videos, he is serious into what he wants to accomplish. He wants to get Tea Party groups together because as far as what I can get or garner off, that is what he thinks is going to save the day. And I think it is, too. But the thing is that we all have to be together under one umbrella. We have to be coherent. We have to be, you know, cognizant. We have to be involved in one thing or one thing only, not maybe, but we have to leave our guns at the door, and we have to go in the tavern and we have to sit down and sit there and start talking about issues. And we as of yet have to do that, in my opinion.
Well, I think that I've said this on your show once before, Bing. I've been, and I'm sure that a lot of us have been in a lot of associations, a lot of groups, and what has traditionally always been the truth is that about 10 to 12% of the people do 100% of the work. And, man, if we could just build that 10 or 12% to 15 to 20%, not a huge increase, not a big difference, man, we could take back this republic of ours.
Oh, if you look at Bill Whittle's videos, I mean, you know, he's got it nailed. If we could get just a little bit out of everybody, that would help. Even 5% out of everybody, that would be
like go
tremendous.
To church and everybody put in a buck. You know, when they pass the plate, at least everybody put in a buck.
Yeah, not just money. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes a lot of commitment, and it takes vision. You know,
what do you know about that, man?
I don't know nothing about that. I don't know squat.
Well,
about
I'm going to shut up before you kick me off the air, Bing.
Yeah, I'm fixing up. Hey, if you hear applause when the screen door hits you with a good little split, you're okay.
Because we love you, brother.
Yes, love you, love you, Harry.
You take care, man.
Okay, hear that screen door coming?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, it's coming.
Had one of those in a submarine once.
Take care, Harry.
You too, man.
Okay, Billy, you're up on deck.
Well, good show, guys. I really appreciated everything, and even getting rid of the stand. But I just, you know, I can't say enough. You guys always lead me into I want to say, territory that, that helps me with my own shows. And I appreciate it a lot. I've had Virginia Proden on. I've had some other people that you've, you know, led me on to. And, Bing, you're doing a great job finding guests for the shows. It's, you know, something that you're really good at.
And you're doing an awesome job.
I don't know why I'm good at it. I just email them and they say, yeah, I'll be on the show. You know, maybe because we have a website. I don't know, you know, but this is uncanny to me. You know, Michael does a great job too, man. I mean,
it's probably,
you know,
a casting report.
No, Bob, I think
if you got a good product, I think you can get people on. You know,
I think
if you got a good product, and if you got the mentality and so on to pursue it, and if you got the energy really to pursue it, there's so many people out there that I would love to have on the show, and I'm pursuing some other ones that people that you might not even think about. You know,
like Bill Whittle.
That's one, yes. But I'm looking at quadriplegic that was on Huckabee show the other night. And she's just a great inspiration, I thought. You know. But anyway, just remember
that Nobomination is Thursday at 7 p.m. Central.
Yep. Please.
Thanks a lot, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.
I gotta get my plug in.
Oh yeah, you got that. Shameless too.
Absolutely,
Billy. Thank you, Rick. You're on. You're up.
And now for the king of shameless plugs. I won't take up much of your time, but do remember that every Saturday is Red, Red, and Blue at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Michael Bing, sorry I came in late. I was battling a little something. I wasn't feeling good, but I'm glad I made it in because Wild Bill is awesome. And I'm going to try and get him on my show, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, dude, look, all you got to do is email him. Go to his website. He's got a contact form. Just email him, and he'll get right back to you.
I'll definitely do that.
All right, Rick. Who do you got on this week? Or next week?
This week, this Saturday, I don't have anybody scheduled. But one thing about my show is, and I always say that my show prep begins when my last show ends. And then when the next show begins, so keep tuned to my Twitter feed.
Good deal, man. Good deal. Hey, you can have Wild Bing for USA on.
Bing, my friend, you know you are always welcome to come on my show.
I know, buddy. I know. Hey, thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Rockstar. Take care. Good night. All right, let's go to Richard. You still there, buddy?
I am. Good show tonight. You know, we've got a lot to do, and the Tea Party is growing. I don't know how I got into this position, but I've been a consultant for a couple of years for people wanting to start new Tea Party groups.
Oh, groups. That's killer. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I've been able to help people in Terrell, Texas. In Missouri, we have a new group starting in Clinton, and I'm hoping to get some feedback from them to let me know how they're going. That's just been in the last week or so. So, you know, we're a growing movement, and we've got to keep the momentum going, and we've got to get the message out to people.
Correct. Any way we can do it, you know. Each group has their own ways of doing it. I know our friends over at Big Dog Music Mafia, they use music to do it. Michael, I might have to kind of go into our I might
record
not be able
time?
To get everybody.
No, that's fine. Go ahead. We're quickly going into record time. So if you're not on the line in about a minute and a half, the show's going to drop. But go ahead, just run through everybody.
All right. Thank you, Richard. And yeah, if you got a website that you deal with, go ahead and put a shameless plug in right now.
Oh yeah, I actually have an ebook out at smashwords.com, and the title of the ebook is the Lawn Chair Revolution.
All right, yeah.
I hope
if you can
take a look at it.
Well, and if you know,
put that in
real
the
quickly,
chat.
Bing, I was just going to say, Richard dropped me an email last week, and I just hadn't been on the computer all week until today to schedule him for a show. So I don't know, Richard. While we've got you on the line, are you game for next Sunday?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll get responded to your email, but we'll schedule you for next Sunday. How does that sound, Bing?
That sounds cool, man. Do you want to do an outro bump and then come back to the show, or do you want to just keep going, Michael?
Oh, no, go ahead. We're
do the out bump.
Okay.
Yeah, do the out, I think.
All right. All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
Mind, we breathe the same air.